It's about relationships, not about religion. Now again, we know this, we talk a lot about it. This is something Gateway does very well. We talk about three relationships: a relationship with God, a relationship with each other, and a relationship with our community. And that is what church is about. Go and look at Jesus's life in the Bible, and go look at what the Gospels talk about what Jesus did. And you find that Jesus was very consistent about who he had compassion for and who he criticized. You notice in the Gospels and in Jesus' life, he had compassion for individuals and people he came across, the woman at the well, Zacchaeus, the disciples themselves. He had compassion for them, forgiveness. Peter screwed up lots of times. Jesus had compassion, forgave him. Who were the people that Jesus even got angry about and criticized? It was the religious teachers, the Pharisees, as they were called. Why? Well, he actually wasn't criticizing them for what they believed as such. In fact, he goes on here to say, if you can see it, and I'm speaking now for also the recording as well, in Matthew 23:1-3, Jesus actually says, you won't go wrong if you follow the teachings of the religious scholars. Their teaching was good. Jesus affirms that. But what did he criticize? Well, he basically said, modern phrase, guys, you talk a good talk, but you don't walk the walk. From the Message, it says, they talk a good line, but they don't live it. They don't take it into their hearts and live it out in their behavior. It's all spit and polish and veneer. So Jesus was consistently critical of religious people who did religion, but didn't practice it. Right? And the second thing is, and again, verses we've been focusing on in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about us being a body, not individuals, but a body connected together, just as a human body's got arms and legs and hearts and lungs and all those things. We're not individual Christians. We are meant to be a unit working together in relationship with each other, right? We're the body of Christ, each one part of it. By all this will know men that know that you are disciples, that you love one another. And Alan said last week, that actually, and he's right, that there is only one yardstick mentioned in the Bible by which people are to judge whether we are disciples of God or not, and that is this, that we love each other. That's the measure that Jesus says others will judge us on, is how much do we love each other and how much you're in relationship with each other in spite of our differences. Okay, so relationships, not religion. Told you I was going to spend 10 minutes on each one. Presence, not programs. Taken from Exodus 33. This is Moses having a conversation with God when he's leading the children of Israel. And he says an amazing thing. He's having a conversation with God, and the Lord replies, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest as they set off. Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. In other words, there is no point us going anywhere if you're not with us. Right? Now, we know biblically again, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there I'll be also. So we know God is here and he's with us, but there's a difference metaphorically, forgive me, between him sitting on the back row in that chair, watching what's going on and being present in the room, and actually being front and centre in the meeting. You see, our meetings are about the presence of God and experiencing the presence of God. Moses goes on to say, how will anyone distinguish us if your presence is not with us? You see, we can put on great meetings, and don't get me wrong again, meetings are important, and I'm a passionate believer, in spite of what happened today, in putting on good meetings and getting organised and doing it all. It's benefit the girls at the back. Right? We need to do quality stuff, but we are not Caerphilly Round Table. It's not just about putting meetings on and doing them well. The difference is there should be a sense of the presence of God here today. And people should come in, and yes, they should be complimentary about the quality of what we do, whether it be the kids' clubs, the carol services, or whatever else, but they should be able to sit in our meetings and say there's something different about these people. There's something, I don't know what it is maybe, but I walked out of that meeting or that social and there's just something different going on. I don't understand, right? It's about presence, not programs. Programs are important, but they need to have the presence of God in them. Whew, I don't even see that. Another phrase, it's about moments, not meetings. This is something we've been learning as we've been going through over the last few weeks. Your week is probably something along these lines. I don't know whether you can see it from there, but my week's, you know, you've got, you may not have a physical diary, but in your med, you've got, in your head, you've got a mental diary, you know, and you've got work slotted in. You've got, if you're fortunate, some socials slotted in, some time with the kids doing whatever activity it is. You've got other things going on, and somewhere in there, you've got slots for church, whether it be prayer meeting on a Tuesday, a church group on a Wednesday, a meeting in the week somewhere, and church on a Sunday. And we tend to, we all do this, tend to sort of slot church into various slots in our diary and say, that's where church belongs in our diary. And each of us varyingly will say, I can spend this much on church this week, right? John 15, verses we know well, again, we've been looking at. Jesus says, remain in me, I will remain in you. Why? Because you will only bear fruit if you remain in him. You will not bear fruit unless you do. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Other versions of the Bible talk about abiding, living in him. And the Bible, again, is very clear. It's not about meeting with Jesus once a week. It's about spending every day with him. The Apostle Paul in Thessalonians and Ephesians, in the letters to them, says this, be joyful sometimes. No, be joyful always. Pray occasionally. No, pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So folks, what I'm saying here is actually, church isn't about, in reality, these yellow blobs on your chart. Church actually runs through every activity you do, every moment of the day. You see, church is about you and your relationship with God and your relationship with others. It is important you come on a Sunday. It is important you come to the prayer meetings. But church is way, way more than that. It is about your relationship with God when you're in your workplace, when you're with the kids, when you're with the friends, and most difficultly, when you're with your husband or your wife, he says, honestly. Right? That's what church is about. So it runs right through our daily. So it's about moments. It's not about meetings. We're about worshippers, not word singers. I'm desperately trying to think of a double. It just about works. We're worshippers, not word singers, right? Yes, we do want you to stand up here and sing the words, please. That makes a big difference to us when we're standing up here. But actually, you're more than that. You're to be worshippers. And in Romans, Paul again says this. Romans 12:1. You're to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Why? Because this is your true and proper worship. So worship is way more than what we've just done. Yes, what we've just done is very important. And the Bible, again, is clear that God delights when we do what we've just done. But more so, he delights in you offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. So that's the point, again, about day-to-day relationship with God. And God wants people who worship him in spirit and truth. What could be more clear than this? It is in black and white, or green in this case. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. Right? So God wants people who spend time with him. And I'm learning to do this for the first time in my Christian life. I'll put my hand up and say, is in the midst of a busy day, just to pause and pray, Lord, be with me in this today. Help me through it. But also, what can I do for you in the next hour? Is it something I can say to somebody? Is it somebody I can pray for? What is it I can do for you in the next hour just to be a member of your body? It's about worshippers, not word singers. You see little cartoons on there. But that's that. And finally, and this is part of why you've got your pieces of paper, it's about seeds and it's not about sermons. You see, yes, We can stand up in our pulpits, or we can stand up here at the front with our microphones and whatever else and talk. But the idea isn't to preach at you and to try and hammer over your head thought. What the Bible is clear about is what we're doing here, and what I'm trying to do today is just plant a little seed in your heart. Not my seed, but a word from God which can take root in your heart and change your life. That's what the parable of the sower is about in Matthew. And this whole story is about people who heard a word, some who received it, but it fell on stony ground and never took root, some who they heard it and it sort of went in for today, but when they got into work tomorrow, modern paraphrase of it, events of the day just gone on top of them and it just all went. And then at the end, one who receives the seed that fell on good soil. That good soil is your life being prepared and receptive and willing to hear from God. And you hear the word and understand it and act upon it. So sermons aren't about demonstrating how articulate we are or how good I happen to be at PowerPoint or whatever else. What I'm trying to do today, which is the piece of paper again, just to remember, mind you've got a piece of paper on you, is just plant a seed in your heart that God can water and grow, that will help you in terms of your walk and your relationship with Him. Okay? So, it's not about sermons, it's about seeds. Difficult one now, and we all struggle with this, let's be honest. It's about being open and not opaque. It's about taking off the masks that we can all wear, that church face video you saw at the beginning, coming with my church face on. It's about willing to be open and real. Again, the Bible's very clear. Ephesians, put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Ephesians 4, 22, 25. Just in case anyone does ever listen to these, do me a favor. If you're listening to this next week or the week after, email me and tell me you were. I'd just be interested to know whether anyone ever does listen to these when we download them and put them on the forum, not on the forum, on the church website. So if you're listening to it, email me and tell me. There you go. So that's Ephesians 4, 22. Put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Really difficult. I'm going to pause at this because this is a difficult thought. I want to show you another video clip. Let's see. I think you'll like this. You will if I play it.
Are you tired of small groups always getting into your business? Trying to get you to share your feelings, discuss your past, confess your sins? Are you just looking for a place to kick it, network, maybe get some free grub? Me too. That's why I created what I believe to be the world's first openly shallow small group. We're not here to deal with messy stuff like feelings and emotions. You got problems? You deal with them. You're an adult. Life ain't easy. So stop the pity party. We all have our issues. We don't really want to do life together. Frankly, at Shallow Small Group, we try not to do much of anything at all. You'll never hear us use the term unpack that thought. We're sure it's packed away for a really good reason. And you'll never hear us use the term accountability unless you're talking about someone who deals with numbers. Hey dude, thanks for doing my taxes. You have great accountability. And spiritual growth? Who wants growth? I had a growth remove last week. It wasn't pleasant. There's no pressure here to remember each other's name.
How's it going, buddy?
Oh, hey man, how's it going?
That's good.
Good. Oh, dude.
Captain, what's going on?
We know you have a name, and that's the important thing. Group discussion? You got tickets to the big game? Sweet. Let's spend some time on that. Oh, you and your wife are struggling financially? There's tension in the relationship? That's not really the vibe we're going for. We avoid conflict like the plague.
Who wants cake?
Come on and get it!
And there will never, ever be an awkward silence. That's our guarantee to you. We hate bad theology as much as the next guy, and we know the surest way to prevent bad theology is to avoid theology altogether. And outreach? This is the only outreach you'll ever have to do. Some people say we're superficial. But hey, the word super's and superficial. I mean, who doesn't want to be super? Shallow small group. Because when things get too deep, people drown. Won't you join us?
Okay. Very funny, I think you'll agree. But also, we smile at it because sometimes feel that it would be a lot easier if that was the case at times and we didn't have to be real. And I know it's difficult, but if we're honest with each other, that's what the Bible says we need to be. And why can we do that? Why is it that we can go into a small group or a church and it is a case of being vulnerable, because if you start to open up, you are opening yourself up and being vulnerable. Why? Well, also, we're to be encouraging and not excluding. You see, we sang some wonderful songs about God's love and how much God loves us. And we've been focusing in the last few weeks on the fact that God loves us in spite of what we do and who we are. And I'll tell you what, and it's a lesson for me again, if God loves me that much that he's prepared to accept me just as I am, then I have to accept Roger just as he is. I have to accept Leighton just as he is. I have to accept anyone, depending on people, right? But who am I to judge anyone else when God doesn't judge me, right? So if somebody comes and says, this is what I've done, or I feel like this, or whatever else, we should be in an environment where we can encourage each other and not be excluded. You see, Romans again, Paul talks about mutually encouraging each other. Thessalonians, encourage one another and build each other up. Remember that same phrase about spiritual gifts? They're to build each other up. Each member of the church grows and builds itself up in what? In love and forgiveness. And we're encouraged by the Holy Spirit to do that too. So the reason we can make ourselves vulnerable, as difficult as it is that that is the environment we're to be in. And then finally, church is for everyone. It's not just for an elite set of Christians who happen to have reached a spiritual level where they can come to church and put on their spiritual faces and survive. Right? In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. Now, you might not feel so, and I wasn't going to plan to say this, but it's just come to me. If you're not here on a Sunday, we miss you. That's honestly true. Right? It's not just a numbers thing, that you're a bum on a seat, make up a number. If you're not here on a Sunday, we miss you because you're part of the body of the church. And it's like missing a hand or a foot or whatever else. You are missed if you're not here, honestly, right? Each of us finds meaning and function. So this is part of the everyone. Look around the room, you have a role to play in this church and in God's church. It says each up here. You might not be clear or sure about what your role is, but you have a role to play. God has given you a set of gifts and abilities that he intends and desires for you to use in his church. You may not be absolutely clear on what they are, but one thing you should be clear on is you have a role to play. Each member has a role to play. And as leaders of this church, part of our role is to help you identify and work together for you to identify with you what your role is and encourage you and build you up and help you step into that. That's one of the things we're supposed to be doing. Romans 12, what does the Bible encourage us to do? The message. I love this. Let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. The Americans have a trite phrase which says, be all you can be. This is what the Bible's saying. Be what we're made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other. Don't try to be something you're not. God has made you the way he has made you. Do not be upset about how God has made you. He's made you this way for a purpose in his church. So don't say, I'm not like them. I can't do that. Get on and be what you were made to be. Pray that God will show you what you're supposed to do in his church. Don't worry about being someone else. God doesn't want you to be someone else. Remember all those verses that we had on Cafe Church before about I knit you in the womb, I know who you are, you're wonderfully made, you're made in my image, right? Be encouraged that you are who God wants you to be. You're a masterpiece. You may have some mud on you, you may have some scrapes on you, but you are God's masterpiece and you have a role to play, and you can be sure that he will walk alongside you, helping you to do that, right? Church isn't about an elite SWAT team who do everything while everyone else watches. Everyone has a role to play. Okay, so that's the set. There's the eight. It's about everyone, not the elite. Moments, not meetings. It's not programs. Being open with each other. Being true worshippers in spirit and truth. Encouraging, not excluding. Relationships, not religion. And seeds, not sermons. And why is that important? Well, if we do that, we become empowered. Philippians 4, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Empowers is one of those words, if you're in the workplace, Alan knows all about empowerment. It's one of those management terms. It's about being given the authority, the responsibility, and the freedom to get on with the job you've been given to do. And as individual Christians in the church, we're empowered to just do that through Christ, right? That's what this is about. It's not about conforming. It's about being empowered. And I love this amplified bit. Ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. So you're an empowered individual today as a member of this church and a member of his body. So I come back to the question, and again, I'm not asking for an answer, but just have a think about it. Is church about the meetings? And how much of your time should be allocated to the kinds of things we just talked about? You see, in the end, church is about living life with God together. That's what we're called to be. Thank you. Okay, we're going to do a couple of